praise God. How many trust him on tonight? I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, Lord, I do. I never even worry that I might not make it through. Holy Ghost words. Amen. Praise God. Give all of our musicians, frontline singers, give them all a big hand. Don't you appreciate them? Praise God. Turn your Bible to Psalm 34 tonight. We're using New American Standard tonight. New American Standard tonight. There's a reason for my praise. Look at somebody and tell them there's a reason for my praise. Look at somebody else. Tell them there's a reason for my praise. Psalm 34 tonight, Psalm 34, while you're turning to Psalm 34, I'm going to read from the New American Standard in a moment. I remember me and my sweetheart, we were in St. Thomas, and we had had the blessing of the Lord. We found a really great deal, included our airfare, our hotel stay, and we went to stay at the Ritz-Carlton. And I had never stayed at the Ritz-Carlton before. And how many know when you go to the Ritz-Carlton, you're staying at an upper echelon, top-notch type. Anybody ever been to the Ritz-Carlton? Oh, my goodness. We had a time. And the airfare was included. Everything was included. Every time they saw us, they swung a golf cart around and picked us up and take us back to our suite. And so we were, I always, when we're vacation, whatever, I have a little silent guitar. And my baby and I, we sing and worship God. And I've shared this with you before. I felt like I was supposed to share it again with you tonight. And we were worshiping God, and on the silent guitar, you put headphones on, and then you can hear the guitar like it's playing through an amplifier. But nobody else can hear it, so you don't disturb people in the next suite or whatever. That's the purpose of it. And then we just sing, you know, with our voices low, worshiping God. And so we start out every day, you know, we started out every day like that with the guitar out on the our little patio to our suite. It overlooked the ocean. And then there was probably a 10-foot concrete wall between our patio and the next suite's patio. And so we were out there worshiping God at the Ritz-Carlton. You know, I'd never been to the Ritz, and I wasn't used to that level of service. Can I just say it like that? We went out to dinner one night, I remember, and no sooner we got back to the room, we heard a knock on the door. It was 10 o'clock at night. And I thought to myself, who's knocking on the door at 10 o'clock? And plus, we just come in the room. It's like somebody had to be not too far behind us to knock on the door that quickly. So it alarmed me, a New Jersey boy, you know, thinking about, you know, don't want to get jacked. And so they knocked on the door. Room service, we want to check the room. And I said, well, I don't need anything. We don't need the room checked. They knocked on the door again. Room service, sir, we need to check your room. I said, I don't want my room checked. They said, we want to make sure you have water and all the things you need. Please open the door. I said, I'm not opening the door. And I was really thinking to myself, I didn't come all this way to get jacked. I'm not about to open that door tonight. That door ain't opening before the morning light. I don't care where I'm at. But the next morning, they knew that I had been kind of concerned. And they said, Mr. Ray, can we just talk to you for a moment? I said, sure. They said, we hope we didn't scare you last night. That was our staff who knocked on your door. I said, oh, I really was alarmed. I didn't know who it was. And they said, we're sorry we alarmed you. We saw you coming back from your dinner. And we always come in. We have a turndown service. We want to turn down your sheets. We want to make sure the room's been prepared right. We want to make sure you have water. We want to make sure there's coffee in the room. We check the batteries in your flashlight in case you want to go for a walk at night. They said, we check the whole thing. And we do that every night. And they said, so please don't be alarmed if we knock on your door at night. I said, oh, whew, I'll let you in tomorrow night. I didn't, you know. I might have been used to the Motel 6. I wasn't used to the Ritz. I don't know, but we had a time. But one morning, we were worshiping God, and we were out there on our little, you know, little balcony patio area. And, man, Tony and I just worshiping the Lord, and I was playing the guitar. We had the headphones on, and all of a sudden, I told you, somebody peeked around. That, you know, you had to really lean over the balcony, and you had to really lean, you know, over like that to see who's on the next, you know, in the next patio area. And this lady, when I look, she's leaning over the balcony like this, and she's looking at us. And so we thought we disturbed her. And I took the headphones off, said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We must have disturbed you. And she said, I'm right here in this suite next to you. And she said, the peace of God just came in our suite. She said, we were just sitting there and the peace of God just swept in on us. She said, then it seemed like we could hear faint singing worship. And she said, I have to find out where that worship's coming from. And she said, I apologize for leaning all the way over to stare into your balcony. She said, I had to see who was worshiping God like that. She said, because the peace is over here on your side, but you bought that peace all the way over on our side. And they said, we were upset about a few things today, and it's our last day too, and we were really upset about some things going on. But when that peace of God hit us, we had to come see who was worshiping God. I said, there's a reason for my praise. I said, God is worthy of your praise. And Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Somebody say all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. I said, there's a reason for your praise. I got a reason for my praise. And I tell you, the reason for our praise is that God is worthy. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I said, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what your situation or circumstance. God is worthy. He's worthy of your praise. I said, he's worthy. So often we come to God and we praise him traditionally or conditionally, but God is always worthy of our praise. I remember one time I caught myself out on the golf course. I caught myself saying, I hit the ball and it looked like it was going to go out, and it ricocheted off a tree and it went right back in the fairway. And my friend said, you must be paying somebody to throw the ball out like that. And I said, praise God. My ball sitting in the fairway after it ricocheted off a tree. But then I got to thinking about it, you know, the reason for my praise is much bigger than a golf ball sitting in a fairway. I said, I can praise him when my golf ball goes in the water. I can praise him when I can't find it anymore. I said, God is worthy of our highest praise. Somebody said, my utmost for his highest, he's worthy to be praised. There is a reason for my praise. And the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord every now and then. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's something that you and I get to decide. He said, the praises of the Lord will continually be in my mouth. In other words, it don't matter what I'm going through, I'm going to praise him anyway. It don't matter if something good is happening that I can see, I'm going to bless his name anyway. I said, God is worthy anyway. So I want to talk about three types of praisers real quick here tonight. I want to talk about three types of praisers, if you don't mind. Three types of praisers. And the first one is a traditional praiser. A traditional praiser. What is a traditional praiser? These are folks who praise God. And listen, their praise is based on observation. When they show up to praise the Lord, they're looking around. They're praising God because somebody else is praising God. If everybody else gets to lifting their hands, a traditional praiser will lift their hands too. A traditional praiser is very, very much concerned about what other people think of him or her. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. I said a traditional praiser, they're concerned. Well, I want to raise my hand and tell him, thank you. But somebody might be watching me. They might see me on the big screen. A traditional praiser. They're concerned about this and they're concerned about that. And really, their praise becomes irreverent because they're just doing it out. It's like a liturgy. It's like they're following a routine. But it's not coming from the heart, it's coming out of the head. I said there's a traditional praise. You don't want to be a traditional praiser. How many know God is worthy? I said he's worthy. I said, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is going on in my life, I said, God himself is worthy to be praised. The psalmist said, I'm going to bless his name at all times. But a traditional praiser, not so much. A traditional praiser, once everybody gets to worshiping God, the traditional praiser, they say, well, I wonder what's going on Facebook. A traditional praiser can be found on Facebook in the middle of the worship. A traditional praiser will be shopping at Walmart on their phone. A traditional praiser may be present in the service, but they're absent spiritually. I wish I had a bigger amen. God is not looking for a traditional praiser tonight. And the scriptures are full of people who did things out of tradition, out of root, out of routine. And go with me to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 18. King Saul was a traditional praiser. He was a traditional praiser. 1 Samuel 18. It says this. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself, and Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. And then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Verse 6, and it happened as they were coming when David returned from killing the Philistine. How many know that was a happy day? When David returned from killing the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. And the women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. He was a traditional praiser. This was a day for great jubilee when David killed the giant. It was the Lord who killed the giant. David was just the vessel. David understood it was the Lord who guided that rock. It wasn't David who really had the power to kill the giant. It was the Lord who caused him to prevail. And the Lord directed that rock right into his skull. But Saul had it twisted. He showed up to church in the flesh. And when people were singing, shaking the tambourine, and they started dancing, and it was a time for high praise. And then Saul, instead of being in the spirit, instead of rejoicing, because he's the one, he should have answered the call himself and gone and fight the giant, and God would have gave him the victory. Can't get no amen teaching like that. But Saul showed up to church in the flesh on a Sunday night. And as the women began to dance and shake the tambourines and they were praising God because God had delivered the nation from this uncircumcised Philistine, it was a time for high praise. It was a time for worship and rejoicing. But Saul was in the flesh. He was a traditional praiser. And he started thinking about the words of the song. And he said, oh, let me see, that line said, they sang a line, David has slain his 10,000s, but me, I've only slain my thousands. What kind of line is that? Who wrote that? David must have been behind it. David probably wrote it. What else can he want but the kingdom? He was in the flesh during a time when he should have been worshiping God. He should have been blessing the Lord. He should have been thanking God. You killed the giant. You slayed the giant. It didn't matter who you used. You used somebody to take away our enemy. Hey, you gave us the victory. But he was in the flesh. He was a traditional praiser. And traditional praisers are irreverent. They're irreverent. They're waiting on somebody else. They got to wait for somebody else to get them fired up. A traditional praiser. But secondly, I said I want to talk to you about three. Listen, the second one I want to talk to you about, the second type of praiser, is a conditional praiser. Somebody say that with me, a conditional praiser. For a conditional praiser, things have to be just right in a person's life for them to praise God. A conditional praiser, go with me to Psalm 137, if you would. Psalms 137. Who are we talking about now? You help me. What kind of praiser? A conditional praiser, a conditional praiser. You don't want to be a traditional praiser, and you don't want to be a conditional praiser. Now, Psalm 137, this reflects Israel's attitude about worship in captivity. Israel had disobeyed God. They had disobeyed the laws of God. They had gotten out from under the protection of God's umbrella. God had promised to protect the nation, and they had, through their disobedience, gotten out from under God's protection, and they found themselves captives to the Babylonians. And the Babylonians asked them to sing a praise song. We'll pick up the story, Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. We're talking about conditional praisers. When we remembered Zion, upon the willows, in the midst of it, we hung up our harps. For there our captors demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But they answered, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And so they hung their harps up because they were waiting on conditions, just the right conditions to be able to praise him. Somebody said, well, when I get an unexpected check, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to praise him like I've never praised him before. But let me tell you how to get an unexpected check. You ought to praise him like you never praised him before when you got nothing in your pocket. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, we need to praise him before we see it. Somebody says, if I see the blessing, then I'll praise him. No, you need to praise him before you see it. It is a conditional praiser that will sit back and say, there wasn't bread on the table. There wasn't enough bread on the table. There wasn't bread on the table. I don't have bread on the table. I'm going to wait till I get bread on the table before I pray. I said this morning in Sunday school, you know, that George Mueller, you know, he had a whole orphanage full of children and had no food. And sat those children down at the table and made them say the grace and give thanks and praise to God. And they didn't have no food. Think about that. George Mueller made the children worship God, say the grace, thank God, and they didn't have a crumb to eat. But after they said the grace, there was a knock on the door, and it was the local baker, and he said, I thought y'all needed bread. I bought bread to you. I thought you needed bread. And he loaded them up with bread after they said the grace. I wish I had a bigger amen. Somebody said, I'll say the grace. I'll say the grace after I get the bread. No, you got to thank him. You got to praise him before you see the bread. I wish I had a bigger amen in here. And George Mueller, he knew that. He had those children worshiping God and thanking God and saying the grace with nothing until the baker showed up and said, hey, I've got bread for your table. And the milkman knocked on the door next. He said, my milk cart broke down, and I'm afraid my milk is going to go bad, and I just happened to break down right here at your orphanage. Can you use this milk? And he took all the milk in, and suddenly they had bread and milk. I wish I had a bigger amen. And somebody is sitting back saying, when the right conditions happen, then Brother Bill, I'm going to praise him. Oh, when the right conditions come, I'm going to lift my hand. When the right conditions show up, I'm going to praise him. That's a conditional praiser. And God is worthy of something much more than a traditional praiser. I said he's worthy of something much more than a conditional praiser. Job's wife was a conditional praiser. She told Job, she said, you ought to look at you. Look at the your skin and all the things that have happened to you. And she said, I got a 2-point plan for you. You ought to curse God and then die. That was her 2-point plan for Job. But Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. I got my mind made up. And all his theology may not have been right, but his heart was in the right place. And he said, I'm going to bless him anyway. even after Satan robbed him. But his wife was a conditional praiser. No doubt, had those things not happened to Job, she would have been the first one in the church house praising God. Hallelujah, glory to God. But some people, when a little adversity shows up, a little adversity shows up and say, well, you know, I ain't going down to the church tonight. I ain't going to church tonight. A little adversity shows up. You know, I ain't going. You know, I ain't going to Bible study. I was going to go to prayer meeting. I ain't going. Something don't go right on your job. You know, I ain't going. You're a conditional praiser. If you're waiting for just the right set of circumstances before you can praise God. Conditional. If I get extra money, things go my way. I get a nice raise down there on the job. People are happy with me. Oh, I'm going to praise him. But can I tell you this? In all of our lives, there are times when adversity comes and when things don't always work out according to plan. Preacher won't get no amen talking like that. I said there are times in all of our lives when things don't work out for whatever reason according to plan, but we must praise God anyway. I said he's worthy of much more than a traditional praiser, and he's worthy of much more than a conditional praiser, and God is waiting for somebody who will bless him, who is what I call a positional praiser. Somebody who knows who they are in Christ. Somebody who knows that it doesn't matter what the weather is. Some people praise God based on the weather. They say, oh, it was a nice day today. Hallelujah. But you couldn't find them 3 weeks ago when there was snow and ice on the ground. Oh, hallelujah. Some people praise God based on the weather outside. Conditional praisers. Oh, but God is looking tonight across this audience. God is looking tonight. Everyone tuning in, you're watching through some other venue, and God's eyes are searching. His eyes are moving to and fro. Second Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro. What's he looking for? He's looking for a positional praiser. He's looking for somebody who says, Lord, you're worthy no matter what goes on in my life. If my car run out of gas, you're worthy to be praised. If I don't have a car to drive, you're worthy to be praised. If I don't have enough bread to make it through the month, you're worthy to be praised. If I can't see the answer to my problem, you're worthy to be praised. And Satan loves traditional praisers. You know why? Because he's going to give you some discouragement. Satan loves conditional praisers. You know why? He's going to throw some problems in your path. But he can't do nothing with a positional praiser. With a positional praiser, he just have to leave you alone. He may throw a little adversity, but he'll say, you know, I might as well pack up and get going. Let me go find a traditional praiser. Let me look for a conditional praiser. But he saw you and said, oh, that woman right there, nah, she's a positional praiser. I better just leave her alone. He saw you and said, nah, that man right there, he's a positional praiser. I better just leave him alone. Positional praiser. A positional praiser. When someone is a positional praiser, look, let's go back to the Psalms real quick. Let's go back to the Psalm. Go with me to Psalm 103. We're talking now about a positional praiser. This is someone praising God because they already know who they are in Christ. A positional praiser knows this, that faith is the victory. The victory that overcomes the world is even our faith. A positional praiser knows that God can take your situation where there's lack and turn your situation from lack to overflow just like that. A positional praiser knows that just because things are a certain way right now, God can turn that thing around by the morning light. I said, I wish I had a positional praiser in here tonight. A positional praiser doesn't care what you think about them. A positional praiser doesn't care if they get ugly for Jesus. A positional praiser doesn't care if snot is running from their nose and sweat is running from their hair and they kicked off a slipper to the left and they kicked off a shoe to the right. A positional praiser is going to praise him because he's worthy to be praised. A positional praiser will praise him in the morning. A positional praiser will cut a step at noontime. A positional praiser will praise him when the sun goes down. Psalm 103 said, bless the Lord. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. You see, a traditional praiser doesn't know the benefits of God. A traditional praiser doesn't know his benefits. A conditional praiser has forgotten his benefits. Oh, but you bring me a positional praiser. And a positional praiser can tell the story no matter what's going on. They can tell the story when their body doesn't feel right. They can tell the story when their mind is confused. They can tell the story, hey, God is a good God. He's always faithful. He can bring rivers in a desert. He can open doors that no man can close. Forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things. Now we're talking about a positional praiser. Go with me, 2 Samuel chapter 6. A positional praiser. They review who they are in Christ. They realize that circumstances are subject to change. A positional praiser knows that it can be one way today, but God can turn that thing around and it can be another way tomorrow. By the morning light, God can fix that thing. And the problem that's busting your head apart that you can't figure out and you don't know what to do and you so worried about it, you know, a positional praiser will worship God and then go on to sleep. A positional praiser is not somebody who's up all hours of the night. 2 Samuel chapter 6, we find a positional praiser. And the scripture says at verse 16, if you will, verse 16. Well, let's go up to 12. 2 Samuel 6, let's start at verse 12, if you don't mind. We're talking about a positional praiser. God loves positional praisers. 2 Samuel 6, verse 12. Now, it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him. Obed-Edom was a positional praiser. On account of the ark of God. And David went and bought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting. And the sound of a trumpet. A positional praiser will shout. He will shout. She will shout. Hey, a positional praiser will dance when it don't seem convenient. A positional praiser don't care who's looking. A positional praiser doesn't care who's watching. A positional praiser says, my God is worthy and I'm going to bless his name. A positional praiser will cut a step in the kitchen. I've told so many times my mama's friend, Miss Register, who would always testify, she was a Holy Ghost Baptist woman. And she was trusting the Lord to heal her back. And I'd hear her and my mama talking. And Miss Register would be, she called my mama Ray. And she'd say, Ray, she said, let me tell you how the Lord healed me. And I'd be thinking, Miss Register, please be quiet. I'd heard that testimony 50 times. I could mouth the words to Miss Register's testimony. She had said it so many times. But Miss Register was a positional praiser. And she had decided she was going to give God the glory. And she decided she didn't care what anybody think. And I heard her over and over again. I'd be in the back room and she'd say, Ray, let me tell you my testimony about how the Lord healed my back. Little Baptist lady, believing God for healing. And she said, I was thanking the Lord for my healing. And she said, I was in the kitchen mopping the floor. And she said, the Holy Ghost came on me. And she said, Ray, the bucket went one way. About this time I'd be mouthing. The mop went the other. The mop went the other. And she said, the Holy Ghost hit me and something went down my back. And she said, God healed my back right there mopping the kitchen floor. And I should have been shouting hallelujah, but I was in the back. I was a traditional praiser back then. But Miss Register didn't care what you thought. And then she'd start shouting. She'd get so excited about how God healed her. Then she'd start shouting, hallelujah, glory to God. And then my mama would start shouting. And I'd be thinking, how many times you ladies gonna shout on that one testimony?
But when God has touched you, when God has saved you, when God has filled, I wish I had an amen in here. I said, hey, when God has brought you through the storm, when God has brought you through the night, hey, when God has brought you through the trouble, hey, when God puts his hand on you, a positional praiser will praise him in the morning. A positional praiser will praise him in the noonday. A positional praiser will praise him when the sun goes down. They don't care who's watching. They don't care who's looking. A positional praiser says, God is worthy. Because of who I am in Christ, I always win. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are today, because in Christ, I always win. It doesn't matter if the odds are stacked up against me, because in Jesus, I always win. It doesn't matter if they laid me off on the job, because God's got a better job for me. In Christ, I always win. It doesn't matter if they turn me down for the house, God's got a better house, because in Jesus, I always win. A positional praiser will praise him in the morning, praise him in the noonday, praise him when the sun goes down. A positional praiser will shout, will dance. A positional praiser will give him the glory, because God is worthy. I said, what has God done for you? He's worthy. I said, he saved you from a devil's hell. You ought to praise him for that. I said, he redeemed you by the blood. You ought to praise him for that. I said, he's given you a car to drive and a house to live in. You ought to praise him for that. I said, he washed away all our sins, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you ought to praise him. Because a positional praiser will praise him no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the issue, they're going to praise God anyway, because God is worthy. I said, he's 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 worthy. Woo! He's worthy. God can lift you up when you don't know what to do. God can turn it around when you don't know what to do. I said, we serve a God who can do anything but fail. Tonight, he's looking for a positional praiser. Somebody who will bless him. Don't matter if you're at church or not at church. Somebody who can bless him in the kitchen like Miss Register. A positional praiser tonight. God's done so much for you. God's done so much for me. And I said, he's worthy of our praise. I said, God has healed you, and he's worthy. Sometimes, you know, we have such short memories. We act like, Lord, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? But we need to go back and remember all the things that he's already done. I said, we ought to have times with God when we come into his presence and say, Lord, I don't want nothing right now. I just want to praise you. I just want to bless you. I want to thank you for what you've already done. You saved me, healed me, delivered me, and I want to say thank you. Woo! A positional praiser. We'll bless him when the sun goes down. Woo! What kind of praiser are you, my brother and sister? What kind of praiser are you? God's looking for a positional praiser tonight. Somebody said, when Winter Bible comes, I'll praise him. No, you need to praise him before Winter Bible. Somebody said, I'm waiting on camp meeting. You need to praise him before camp meeting. Can you praise him in your kitchen? That's what God wants to know. Can you praise him on the back porch? That's what God wants to know. Can you praise him when you're in the car? That's what God wants to know. God is a good God, and he's worthy of our praise. Tonight, if you need something from the Lord, God's word is your answer. God's promises are available to you. Whatever you need from God tonight, he wants you to use your faith tonight, use his word, and watch him turn your situation around. But you're going to have to bless him before you see the answer. You're going to have to praise him before you see the answer. I've said so many times in my testimony, I remember when I needed a new roof, and I had an older house, and my insurance guy said that wood shake roof is no longer, we cannot insure it. It's not insurable. I have to take it off the books. The rest of your house is on the books, but not that roof. You're gonna have to do that yourself, Bill. And I was going through a difficult time in my life, and I needed $24,000 to fix that roof.
And I went out. The Lord told me, go out there, speak to the roof. And I went out there, but I went out there and it was still light, and I started looking at how bad the wood shake looked. And I saw the depth of the roof and how big the roof was. And I saw the problems of the roof, and I lost my praise. I ran on back in the house intimidated. But in my prayer time, the Lord told me, get back out there. You get back out there with my word, and you look at that roof, and you raise your finger and point to that roof and say, I have a new roof in the name of Jesus. And I went back out there with faith in my heart and said, I have a new roof in the name of Jesus. I was looking beyond the blemishes. The second time I went, I was looking beyond the problem. I was looking beyond the situation. And I began to thank God for a new roof. And I did that every day. I'd come home for lunch. I'd thank God when I pulled in the driveway. When I left for the gym, I'd thank God for a new roof. When I'd come back out to go back to work, I'd thank God for a new roof. For 6 months, I did that. I thanked God for a new roof. I'll never forget when my insurance agent called. He said, Bill, he said, I got a new product in that I can sell. And you fit the criteria, the strict criteria. You have to have paid all your premiums, paid all your bills, had very little or no, if you've had no claims or very little claims. And then you pay your bill on time. And he said, you fit that criteria. And he kept talking. And I said, okay, I appreciate it. What does this mean about my roof? He said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Now I can cover you under this new policy and your roof is covered. He said, but you have to pay the deductible. It's not like your regular deductible, like $500. You have to pay the roof deductible. I said, well, what is that? He said, it's $7,000. You have to pay that. I said, well, I'll pay it. Because I had owed $24,000. Now, when he told me $7,000, I said, I'll pay it. Did you have $7,000? No. At the time he told me that, I didn't have $700. But I told him, I'll have it. I'll pay it. But then he called me back a week later. And he said, Bill, he said, I'm just figuring up the paperwork now for you. And he said, listen, on that $7,000, he said, your roof, that wood shake roof is really a high quality roof. He said, now you're getting the best roof that can be put on a house today. This composite shingle, it's a 50-year roof with a transferable warranty. He said, now this roof that you're getting on, that's the best one we have. He said, but your wood shake roof, if I had had to replace that, it would have been even more expensive. So I'm required by law to reimburse you the difference between the money for the wood shake roof and the money for the new composite 50-year transferable roof. And I said, well, how much is that? He said, $7,000. So I went from $24,000 down to $7,000, just thanking God, just praising God, just worshiping God. Every day looking at that roof, praising God. Went from $24,000 to $7,000 to zero. And then they put the roof on. The roof looked so good. And the roofer showed up at my house. Now, not my insurance agent. The roofer knocked on the door. Said, Bill, said, do you like the roof? I said, love the roof. By the house sold right after that. They put the roof on. The house sold just like that. He said, normally I give a commission. When someone sees a roof and they want a roof, then I give the homeowner a $500 commission. He said, but I came over earlier to check on you, but you weren't here. But I did bump into your neighbor, and your neighbor liked your roof so much, I asked your neighbor, do you want me to look at your roof? And they said, yes. And he said, now the insurance company, their insurance company has approved a new roof for them. So normally I give a $500 referral, but since you weren't here, I'm just going to give you the $500 referral anyway. I bought you a check for $500. God took me from owing $24,000 down to $7,000 down to zero till they gave me a check for $500. I wish I had a positional praiser in here. He's a good God. I said he can do anything but fail. Tonight, you need something from the Lord. Our prayer workers are coming right now. And they're ready to agree with you in prayer. Whatever you need tonight, they will agree with you in prayer. They're not here to counsel you, but they are here to agree with you. They're prayed up and ready to go. And if you need something from tonight, you need salvation. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You want somebody to agree with you about a problem you're going through. You come forward tonight. Ladies come to the ladies. Guys go to the guys. And you won't leave here like you came. This is how we do it on Sunday night. And so don't leave. If you got a situation, come forward. Watch God do it for you. All right. Father, thank you. May we all get home safely. We thank you for your hand and your blessing. All that you're doing in our lives. We give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed. God bless you one and all.